you go out into a lot of these contexts and there's business after business offering the same thing, as store or a business that's two doors down, three doors down. And there isn't a lot of strategic work on how can I do something different? How can I do it better? And in a way that customers are willing to pay more for. Having a marketer helping a small firm grow really did drive these metrics of growth in terms of sales, profits, assets, and employment.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. A lot of people have ideas for what businesses need in low-income countries. Maybe it's finance or better laws or improvements to the education system, but you don't often hear anyone suggest that they could really do with more marketers. That's partly because, well, anywhere in the world, it is quite hard to evaluate exactly what marketing is adding to a business. Stephen Anderson of the University of Texas is one of the authors of a new study that's based in Uganda that potentially offers encouragement to both that country's entrepreneurs and to any marketing manager who's woken up at 4 a.m. and thought, what is the point of what I do? He joins me now. Steve, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much for having me on the show and giving us the chance to share some of this work. So really excited about that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Steve, for people who know that marketing exists, but maybe they don't know what marketing is supposed to do, how do you define it?
How about I give you the short answer, which I would start off an MBA or exec class with, which is marketing, which includes marketing and sales and business development. The goal of marketing is to drive top line revenue growth. And so I think that's very consistent with the idea of economic growth in developing emerging economies, where we want to grow firms. Marketing should play a fundamental role. If I were to get into more details, the official American Marketing Association definition is an organizational function and set of processes for creating, communicating, and delivering value to customers, and for managing customer relationships in ways that benefit the organization and its stakeholders. But simply, you can think, drive top line sales.
This experiment that we're going to talk about today, it put small entrepreneurs in Uganda in contact with marketing professionals to help them. Now, this entrepreneurial sector in Uganda, how important is it to that country's economy?
Uganda is a fairly large country in East Africa, and estimates put it at roughly 31% of the adult population, give or take, in Uganda is involved in either having started their own business or running a business that's less than 4 years old. If we want to think about that as an entrepreneur, that's fine. It might not be the typical Silicon Valley view of a tech startup entrepreneur, but definitely a large portion of the economy is being driven by people who are running small businesses.
If we're to expand that Uganda experience to all developing economies, how important could the entrepreneurial sector be to growth if these small businesses were optimally resourced and optimally managed?
The World Bank, some of the estimates put this number around 400 million small firms exist across developing economies. You know, that's widespread Africa, Asia, Latin America, where they make up about 60% of employment and 40% of GDP. So you can imagine that if just a fraction of these sort of more micro small firms are better enabled with human capital, managerial capital, financial capital, et cetera, and are able to grow, you can imagine the impact that could have on individual countries and regional economies.
Back to these entrepreneurs specifically and the hookup that they had with marketers. So who are these marketers? How did you find them? Who created the program that put them together?
Yeah, so I can take zero credit for the program. This was, started almost probably a decade ago by Chris Coughlin, and the program is under Grow Movement. And his idea, he was a master's in finance student at the London Business School when I was a PhD student, and he had done various volunteer engagement UN activities in Eastern Africa. And what he noticed, he got back to the UK and thought, I really want to do more to help. How can I do that remotely? And one of the observations he had was there's a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of mobile phones. Is there a way that I can help these entrepreneurs remotely? And so he started piloting just with other business professionals like himself, volunteering. They bootstrapped some money to hire a local coordinator who would go out and find the entrepreneurs. And he would just for 2 to 6 months start connecting himself and other professionals in his network with local entrepreneurs in Rwanda, Uganda, etc. And that grew from just a way to volunteer and coach entrepreneurs remotely to Grow Movement. And then from there, UK DIF had stepped in and funded a scale up. And that's when we got together and decided, hey, let's run this randomized control trial to evaluate the impact. So that's the background of the program, which is pre-COVID, I think quite innovative, this idea of using virtual collaboration technology, now very timely and effective for scaling up these interventions. Fast forward to running this study, when we were recruiting the 500 or so, I mean, the target was 600, we ended up with around 530 of these coaches. They came from over 50 different countries around the world. I was just extremely impressed. And they agreed to volunteer, you know, and this came from different business schools like London Business School or Stanford, Chicago, reaching out to their MBA network and just other professional associations. And slowly it snowballed into over 500 professionals, really high managerial capital. We're talking almost 15 years of business experience after their undergrad. And a portion of these, roughly 1 in 4, had marketing backgrounds. And we randomly, in this trial, we first randomly assigned firms to treatment and control group. And then within the treatment group, we randomly matched who the entrepreneur and professional pairing would be. And that's the key that allows us to identify these effects or isolate these effects of marketers.
But by definition, these marketers, they're not in the same place as the entrepreneurs. As you say, they're connecting up remotely. And all of us have found out in the last 18 months, 2 years, how hard that is to do. Do you know that this way of communicating works well? How do they pass on this advice?
We did have a local facilitator who, at least for the first couple sessions, would make sure that the entrepreneur had a good internet connection. The access to the higher quality managerial capital was remote, but we did have a local team sort of support the connections. And in terms of the advice, you would think of this a lot more like coaching. So there's a lot of these business support programs that look at a local intervention delivered by an instructor or a teacher or a trainer or even a consultant that's local working inside the business. And the goal in a lot of those programs is to improve the tactical or business practices within those firms. When you're working remotely, there's probably less of that skills transfer in terms of changing a business tactic, like changing the pricing or implementing a particular income statement approach. And here, when we think about coaching, it's really about thinking about the business model and the strategy of the firm. And that's what happened here. These coaches, particularly the marketers, would help the entrepreneurs first by starting, let's do the market research and gain insights on who are your customers, who's the competition, what is your company offering as it is right now, and then move to, do we need to shift what the strategic direction is in the business? And of course, with that, you would implement whatever the new strategy is with tactical business practices. For the marketers, what seemed to happen, you know, why they were so effective is one of the core concepts in marketing, which is differentiation, right? And you go out into a lot of these contexts and there's business after business offering the same thing, as store or a business that's 2 doors down, 3 doors down. And there isn't a lot of strategic work on how can I do something different? How can I do it better? And in a way that customers are willing to pay more for. And we can think about that as a premium offering that differentiates from alternatives or competitors in the marketplace. And that really is what, if we think about the mechanism, what drove the improvements for the pairings where there was an entrepreneur with a marketer.
But was there a measurable effect for these entrepreneurs from this type of advice?
Yeah, so we measured over 2 years and different indicators of growth. So we use things that are common in this area of research. So monthly sales of the treatment firms, the marketer treatment firms, grew by about 52%. Monthly profits improved by about 36%. Total assets increased by about 31%. And paid employees rose by about 24%. Now that's in levels, you know, a whole bunch of different robustness and other checks. And there's a rough range there, but definitely we're seeing effect sizes, you know, 30% plus across these different growth indicators.
And in this experiment, some businesses were offered marketing advice and others were offered a more traditional business consultancy. Is marketing working as well as business consultancy?
Yeah, in this context, it definitely is. So if we looked at just the aggregate effect of the virtual coaching on its own, we see these significant effects across the indicators. when we break it down into the type of support they were given, remember, they were randomly matched to a marketer or a consultant or a professional with a different kind of background. I don't want to say anything negative about the consulting in that sense, but in this case, you know, a large amount of the effect seemed to be driven by those randomly assigned into the marketing group, whereas those randomly assigned to meet with a consultant remotely didn't have as large an impact. We can't necessarily rule out that marketers did better than consultants, and I would want to stay away from that because I do have other work looking at consulting interventions that have been really effective. But in this context, having a marketer helping a small firm grow really did drive these metrics of growth in terms of sales, profits, assets, and employment.
Let's not start a fight between marketers and consultants, but this is terrific news. How are these entrepreneurs changing their behavior? Is it a really deep strategic change that they're making in how they behave as a result of this advice?
What we do, we both, let's say roughly 1 year after the intervention, right? Shortly during that period, trying to understand the mechanism, you know, what's the theory of change driving this growth? And two things came up that were unique for those linked with a marketer. So we did a linguistic analysis of all of the interactions that happened between the volunteers and the entrepreneurs. So in the database, the project management system of Grow Movement, we took all that text, analyzed it. And what we see, one of the common trends is that a lot of the interactions between the marketers and the entrepreneurs focused on the product and the performance of the product or the offering of the business. So there was definitely a heavier focus on what are you offering, right? And how can you offer it in a way that is different than others? That wasn't the case for the entrepreneurs who were randomly matched with a consultant or those from other backgrounds. And then relatedly, when we go out and measure in the field, do these business audits, what we find is that indeed, those entrepreneurs, 120 or so randomly matched to a marketer, they offered different products, but also products that on average were higher priced, had higher contribution markups, and just delivered more value. And given all of that, we conclude that the marketers help these entrepreneurs to better differentiate their product surface offerings in the marketplace, which is a fundamental concept that you learn in marketing and teach in marketing, right? And so I would say that the marketers are these remote coaches. They didn't go and make the changes in the business, but they guided the process for the entrepreneurs, right? They help them start with doing the market research and gaining the insight, then move towards, hey, how do I identify my target market and think about segmentation, targeting, positioning, and then iterate or adapt what I'm offering to make sure that it's unique, it adds value, not just for the customer, but also for the business itself so they can charge higher prices and gain higher margins. So I would say behaviorally or in terms of mechanism evidence, we find that only for the marketing group and not for the group that was offered the consultant or the group randomly matched to other professionals.
As one of the disciplines of marketing, though, Steve, is you really have to know your customers inside out. You do your market research. You understand who you're selling to. Now, for these marketers, they couldn't have that intimate knowledge. Do you think that they could have been even more effective?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Tim. And I do believe that that local knowledge is important. And so something we would do in these sort of development economist studies is look at heterogeneous effects, right? What kinds of businesses or which types of entrepreneurs would benefit the most? And following that line of reasoning that you just mentioned, being able to understand the local market and differentiate should, in theory, really help these businesses accelerate more. And indeed, that's what we find. The marketers who are helping them from sitting in Canada, sitting in the US, et cetera, you're right, they're not going to have that local knowledge. And so what we measure pre-intervention, right, when we're recruiting firms and taking the baseline, so this is not, these characteristics do not get messed up or affected by the intervention or treatment at all. We measure the extent to which entrepreneurs have different levels of local knowledge, market knowledge through different proxies. And what we see 2 years later is which types of entrepreneurs get the biggest bang for the buck? It's those who indeed have greater local market knowledge. Because when those entrepreneurs are matched up with a marketer who's remote, having that local knowledge really makes a bigger difference and sort of supplements the deficit of the market knowledge from a coach who's thousands of miles away.
In this is a great success story, but are you actually creating growth here? Because you might just be making some businesses more successful and others less successful, and there's no overall improvement to the economy.
I think that's a fair criticism, not just of this study, but across a lot of these business support interventions and studies in development economics. When we think about what would be the general equilibrium effects if you were to scale this up and offer such a program to everyone, we do have evidence in our particular study, using the GPS coordinates of different businesses, and we don't see that the growth of our treatment group is just coming at the expense of stealing from other small firms. And so my feeling in this in general is I don't actually believe we should be offering such an intervention when there are scarce development resources to every single person who is running a micro small firm, right? There is a lot of heterogeneity in the kinds of entrepreneurs or business owners we see. Some are much more of the subsistence survivalist type. They're just doing it because they don't have another choice or another option. And they would really prefer to work half the hours and get twice the salary in a steady income paying job working for someone else. And on the other extreme, we see much more growth oriented entrepreneurs who are really trying to grow these firms from 1-2 employees to 20, 50 employees. And I would say if we can do a better job at targeting those who really want to be entrepreneurs and grow firms and offer business support interventions like this versus trying to offer everything to everyone, then I think we are going to see greater aggregate growth in those economies.
Your experiment does seem to suggest that there are some growth-oriented entrepreneurs who could really benefit from this. Can we then conclude from this that if we think about all of Africa's entrepreneurs, or the developing world's entrepreneurs, many of them will need marketing resources? Should NGOs, for example, be thinking about this as some kind of formal intervention that they could offer more often?
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm an advocate for, within this development space, helping firms to improve capabilities linked to marketing and sales. I think that maybe been a bit of a blind spot for policymakers to date. And a lot of the focus has been, rightfully so, in financial capital through grants and loans or financial skills to improve human and managerial capital. And I think both of those are important. But to grow firms, you need to grow sales. To grow sales, you need to get more customers. And many of the fundamental concepts and skills that you learn as a marketer or develop through marketing interventions are going to help with that. So I do think it's critical. And I would just say another very descriptive piece of evidence, a different study that David McKenzie and I had been working on in Nigeria. We look at over 8,000 different small firms that apply to the program. And before designing any interventions, what we see is that as firms get to 10 to 20 employees, it's no longer the owner entrepreneur taking care of the financial accounts of the business or taking care of the marketing and sales. There is a function or department, as you say, running marketing and sales. And that's in Africa. That's not coming from these large S&P 1500 or whatever firms in the US that are publicly listed. Does that suggest that as firms grow in developing economies, that they need a marketing function and a marketing department that specializes on top line growth? Well, we don't have causal evidence on it yet, but I would suggest that yes, we need more marketing and sales interventions and not one size fits all. We're going to learn a lot, I think, through some of the studies I'm doing and others about what types of interventions work better to help businesses grow.
Well, good luck with those studies. It's not the sort of subject that we usually cover on BoxDev, but I'm really glad we did because there's some really interesting conclusions from this, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Tim. I appreciate the opportunity.
The paper we've been talking about is called Do Marketers Matter for Entrepreneurs? Evidence from a Field Experiment in Uganda. And the authors are Stephen Anderson, Pradeep Chintagunta, Frank German, and Nofel Vilkasin. It was published in the Journal of Marketing in March 2021. If you want more background information on how the intervention was done, how effective this style of remote coaching was, there's a paper on that as well. It's called Virtual Collaboration Technology and International Business Coaching, Examining the Impact on Marketing Strategies and Sales. And the authors, Stephen Anderson, Pradeep Chintagunta, and Nofel Vilkasin. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform. But of course, all our episodes, as ever, are at voxdev.org as well.